This is WLVR. It's time to Take Five with Grover Silcox. Grover is an award-winning television host, feature reporter, writer, and comedian. Each week, he'll offer his insights and observations on life. Today,
hold on to the love. My mother, Molly, and I possessed similar spirits. We had that secret understanding that like minds and hearts share intuitively. And although she loved all four of her children beyond words, she and I were most alike in how we perceived the world. Many a night after performing at a comedy club, when I didn't hang with my fellow comics, I'd stop by my mother's place. I'd tell her all about the show, the audience, and the other comedians. She'd listen intently, joyfully clapping her hands as I described my performance and the revelry of the crowd. She listened as she did when I was a little boy, regaling her with my latest discovery. In her gaze, I felt safe, undaunted, and beloved. Like still waters, my mother exuded calm, but beneath ran deep, deep feelings for others. These feelings, cured by her own pain and loss, gave her an acute sense of justice and caring. After my father died in 2001, my mother's life revolved entirely around her children and grandchildren. In 2005, she was diagnosed with uterine cancer. She beat it back, but not for good. In early 2006, the cancer returned. It began with minor pains and discomfort. It led to CAT scans and more procedures, and multiple trips to the emergency room. By February, she was experiencing intense pain in her thigh and along her spine. The duty to tell her that she was dying fell to me. I arrived at Thomas Jefferson Hospital on a chilly February night. I entered her room. A soft light illuminated her bed in the quiet of the otherwise dark hospital room. I had prepared for this role by reading Dr. Sherwin Nuland's book, How We Die. In it, Dr. Nuland shares the story of his own mother's death from colon cancer when he was just a boy. After her physician told the family that she was dying, the family never told her. Everyone was afraid to say anything. Dr. Nuland explains that in his experience as a physician, most patients know that they're dying and want to talk about it. Imagine, says Dr. Nuland, everyone knows, but no one's saying anything. I stood by my mother's bedside. I couldn't believe how weak she had gotten, and yet her smile never waned. She didn't want to upset others. We spoke about incidental things. When she asked me, "What's going on?" I told her gently that the cancer was incurable, and that the doctors and nurses would keep her out of pain. I told her that we, my brother and sisters and I, would be there for her, talking to the docs and the caregivers on her behalf. A great calm, even joy, came over her face, and she extended her arms full out and embraced me, saying, "You're like the father I never had." I wept on the way home. A year after my mother died, Jake, my first grandchild, was born. I enjoyed my new role. I loved playing with him and making him laugh. And through the years, I've listened intently and joyfully at all of his stories. I loved trying to answer his bevy of questions about all the new things he was discovering. And when my three other grandchildren, Matt, Gavin, and Julia, came along, I found myself delighted and surprised by every little wondrous moment they experienced. A curious feeling comes over me when I'm with my grandchildren. I feel the very real presence of my mother in the room. I feel her softness, her warmth, her empathy. And in that moment, she is with me again. When we say goodbye to someone we love, we keep what made us love them, and sometimes share it with others.
Lehigh Valley Public Media's Grover Silcox. Grover is the host of WLVT's Counterculture on PBS 39. Find out more by visiting wlvr.org/take5. This is WLVR.